You're tuned into Madiba's Radio, broadcasting live from Nelson Mandela University.
I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against death domination. I have carried the idea of a democratic and free society, in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunity. It is an idea which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an idea for which I am prepared to die.
Nelson Mandela University. Change the world. You're tuned into Madiba's Radio, changing the world one voice at a time.
Get your SAID book or card ready and go to registertovote.elections.org.za. Step 2. Click Register to Vote Now and enter your personal details. Step 3. Enter the one-time PIN, OTP, sent to your cell phone and then search for your address. Or if you are at home, use the current location on your device. Step 4. Take a photo of your ID or submit a scan of your ID, and then you will receive an SMS within 24 hours confirming your successful registration.
Welcome, welcome again to Science Package here on Madiba's Radio Podcast, where we connect, inform, and engage. And of course, to introduce myself, my name is Gokatello Ndlovu. I like to call myself the brightest star on the airwaves. And today's episode, we're getting very technical because this is Science Package. We do discuss all things STEM, whether that be science, technology, engineering, or even mathematics. Anything under the sun, we are going to talk about it. We're going to discuss it, and we're just going to have a good time. Now, what is on today's roster? Now, firstly, there's a 230 million parking lot that's being built for the ultra super rich within South Africa, which is quite interesting. It's very interesting to see that, so much money is going to a parking lot, but we'll get into that. And then afterwards, of course, Eskom is hitting a major milestone. They're doing something. Whether this something is good, whether this something is bad, we'll find out. And we'll see what exactly is going down in their corridor. And lastly, listen, fuel in Nelson Mandela Bay is facing some shortages, and from these shortages, a lot is going down, and we are struggling as a people. Already we're facing outages, so now that fuel is also looking like a commodity that's very tricky, It's questionable, but let's get straight into it. Now, when we're talking about the 230 million parking lot, what is going down is that a new luxury development is being planned in Cape Town, and it's getting a lot of attention, especially because not only is this a parking lot, but it's actually a super yacht marina, which is essentially like this high-end docking space for luxury yachts. So we're not parking cars anymore. What we're actually parking is the boats, the yachts. This is quite bougie, I must say. This is very exciting considering that Cape Town is known for its tourism. It's known for its yachts, its sea life, its oceanic vibe. So the fact that they are really investing not only in the port, but the yacht aquatic side of the port is very interesting. Now, this project is called the Quay 7 Super Yacht Marina, which will be built at the VA Waterfront, one of the city's most iconic locations. Because listen, VA Waterfront, I've never been to Cape Town. I would love to go to Cape Town, but I know VA Waterfront is the place that people talk about constantly because it's bougie. It's the place to be. It's just the girl that it thinks it is. Now, not only will this be built in VA Waterfront, but the marina will provide secure docking, maintenance, and full service support for large luxury yachts, similar to how a parking lot works, but for boats owned by the extremely wealthy. Now, this will be located also near a luxury hotel development, which will offer views to the Table Mountain, the Atlantic Ocean, and the city at large, making this quite an attractive destination. Now, you can really look at this from two sides. From one side, you can be like, I love to see it, you know, a brand new yacht, a new yacht facility. We love it. We love it. It's cute. But also, at the same time, it's like, there's so many other things within Cape Town that could be built that are much more important, in my opinion. Even though this is a bit of a hot take, we could have so many other projects that could help humanity, but now we are investing in yachts for the wealthy. I know this will cause actually a lot of job creation, especially for like skills that are needed within the city of Cape Town. However, once this is said and dealt and built, yes, it will also provide jobs in terms of maintenance. But at the same time, it goes back to that thing of like, why are we building things for the wealthy instead of for the people, for Officer Africa? Because, you know, people are still without homes. People don't have access to electricity in some areas in Cape Town and places outside the country, within the country, everywhere. Yet we're building super luxurious yachts. It's a bit murky. But let's see what the developers have to say. Because according to them, the project is responding to a growing trend where super yacht visits to Cape Town has been increasing steadily since 2009, with a lot of vessels visiting each season and some even staying for quite months at a time. So on a tourism aspect, I guess this is quite good because it's more so like, okay, tourism equals job creation, but where's that money going? Is it really going to the citizens, to the community? Like, do we need the yachts or do we need to focus on other things? Now, the idea is to position Cape Town as a global luxury yachting destination where it competes with international hotspots by offering world-class facilities, tourism experiences, and access to unique cruising routes that are purely South African. So it's just the thing of like, listen, let's show Cape Town, not only show Cape Town, but let's show South Africa who we are to the world and bringing the world to South Africa through tourism, through the ocean, because our oceans are very beautiful and our oceans is truly where the future lies. Because, I mean, who doesn't want to be on a yacht? Because, listen, if I could have a yacht child, I would be having a great time. Now, when it comes to construction, it's expected to be completed actually by October 2026, which is very quick considering that, like, you know, most of these projects take years and years and have delays, and they also have financial restrictions and like talks of corruption and money laundering and tenders that go missing. So the fact that they're really completing this project in October 2026 shows that they're standing on business. But it also goes back to what I was saying prior, that like, funny enough, building a 230 million rand yacht club in Cape Town is quick, but yet building houses, building electricity facilities, building basic needs for basic people, not to say we're basic, but you know, building needs and building facilities for people specifically who do need it and need it now, it takes years and years only for them to get a crumb of what they deserve. So it's quite questionable. It's very questionable. Because even people are also arguing as well that they question the focus on luxury developments in a country facing significant inequality. So it's just like, do we need this? Do we not need this? Should our construction industry be focused on more so providing facilities and things for people that are much more conducive to their livelihoods instead of just catering to the upper class, to the luxury people? You know, it's such a question that we really need to question actually. So it's interesting, it's quite interesting. And speaking of service delivery and just the relationship between the people and the government and the systems and the high luxury and these big businesses, Eskom is coming into the conversation because they have reached a major milestone. Now, we know Eskom and they're known for their coal, producing coal for electricity, but they also do have a nuclear power plant. Now, this power plant, which is called the Kooberg Nuclear Power Plant, has been successively running for 365 consecutive days without no interruption. Like, I think I have to clap for that because that's actually a feat. And it actually shows that, okay, they can stand on business on something because, listen, Eskom doesn't really have the best reputation. A lot of the times they have this thing where it's like they say they're going to do something and they don't do it. And then we have load shedding and then electricity hikes. And even now in Port Elizabeth, where we're facing a lot of power outages, it's just like, what is going on? What is going on? But the fact that they can continue to really support the Coburg nuclear power station for a whole year shows that they can stand on business when it comes to something. Because this also follows major upgrades, including the installation of new steam generators. Now, this is quite big because it shows improved reliability at one of South Africa's key power stations. Now, this unit is also expected to continue running over 400 days before its next scheduled maintenance, which is planned for April 2026, which is around the corner, which is now essentially. So the real question is, are they going to keep this up? But I will say, to be a little bit political, it is quite questionable how, I mean, not to start any controversy, but the Coburg nuclear plant is also in Cape Town. And it really, truly, for the most part, provides energy to the city of Cape Town. So the real question is, can this be translated to other areas in the country? Because it's like, okay, so Cape Town's getting a yacht and the Coburg nuclear plant is staying consistent. What about the other country? And why is the rest of the country being neglected? You know, and it's an important question. It's a very important question, as well as when you think that, okay, so Eskom can really lock in terms of nuclear power plants. But when it comes to coal or even finding more renewable sources of power, that's when they're a bit shaky. Because listen, let's think about solar energy, for example. Why don't we invest more in solar energy, in wind power? I mean, Port Elizabeth, for example, very windy. So I do know that there are wind turbines outside of the city, but I don't know if essentially they do contribute to the power that we get, because we are still having outages. So, I mean, clearly those wind turbines are not for electricity over there, for something else. So it's quite interesting. Now, the officials say that this milestone highlights the skills and expertise of South African engineers and technical teams who work to ensure the plant operates safely and efficiently. Now, we do know that at the end of the day, all we want in our livelihoods is safety and efficiency, especially when it comes to electricity, because not only on a personal level, this can be like inconvenient when you don't have electricity, but on a much more economic level, businesses have to rely on electricity to function essentially. So when you don't have that, it's like, okay, like what must happen? So at the end of the day, this progress comes at a time where South Africa has been working to improve electricity supply after years of load shedding. We know load shedding is a plague to us all. It's trauma essentially. So hopefully this Coburg power plant can power the whole South Africa. Maybe we can build more. But also with nuclear energy, it does have its disadvantages, because it does need to be in a safe zone in case of like any nuclear eruptions, because that can be truly devastating. And we don't want that, because if we have a nuclear disruption or eruption in a place where it has a lot of people, then that could be catastrophic. So it's a bit shaky, because when we look at the overall conclusion, while these challenges in the energy sector still remain, the milestone is a positive sign for progress, showing that improvements in maintenance and infrastructure can help strengthen the city's power supply. Because all we want in the society is some power, some good working electricity. So if Eskom can do that for Coburg, hopefully they can do that for all the plants and explore new ways of getting us electricity. Especially here in Nelson Mandela Bay, where the pillars and all of these pylons are just falling and falling for some reason, and we don't know why. Now, speaking of Nelson Mandela Bay, fuel is on the topic and it's on the table, because listen, fuel is starting to run low and it's starting to affect many residents' daily lives. Now, according to many recent reports, many fuel stations in our city are running out of petrol and diesel by around 2 p.m. every day. So imagine you want to fill up at 5 p.m., but nope, they ain't got no fuel. So now you have no petrol And if your car uses diesel, you have no diesel as well. And even not only within petrol and diesel, but even paraffin. For a lot of the communities within the city use paraffin as a way of power as well, for like lights and candles and heaters and so on and so forth. Now, these shortages began earlier this month after petroleum companies started limiting how much fuel supply they provide to the region. Because on a more larger political sense, we have to remember that the Middle East right now is going through a lot of political tension, and the Middle East countries are known for essentially their fuel and their oil production. So because it's looking tricky there and murky there politically, it does affect us as Africa, because we do get a large chunk of our fuel from there, although we also do have a lot of fuel reserves, those oil rigs in the oceans of our country. We also do import fuel as well. So this does have an effect on our daily lives, because now the stations are rationing fuel and even limiting how much customers can buy. So even getting a full tank is a bit murky now, because it's like, firstly, not only do you have to ration for each and every car, but also the prices are surging, because there have been surges on fuel, because from 5 cents to over 4 rand per liter when it comes to petrol. And when it comes to diesel, it's been going from 20 cents to over 8 rand per liter. And lastly, 10 rand per liter for paraffin. So we can see that all of these oils and fuels are becoming expensive, and it's hurting our wallets, because now not only does it affect us as people, but it also affects economically. Because listen, now a lot of businesses have to spend more money, which also makes groceries and stuff on the market even more expensive, because now it's a thing of like, okay, so they have to spend more money on fuel, so everything has to be more expensive, which puts us at a very tricky point, because now it's like, okay, if everything's expensive, what must happen? What must we do? Because these particular tensions within the Gulf region is affecting fuel, it's affecting supply chain. I remember I even watched the other day about a video essay about the Gulf region and how Dubai International Airport is also struggling as well, because many flights are being cancelled and a lot of airlines aren't going there anymore. Emirates as an entity is struggling a bit because the Gulf region is facing a lot of tension and nobody wants to really do business there considering what's going on. So the effect on this is actually more so international, because now even flight tickets are even expensive. I remember like recently I was looking at flights for graduation, because I am graduating, but to essentially fly my family to Port Elizabeth, and oh my word, the flights are truly expensive. Like, it's crazy, because it's just like, And the sucky thing is that not only are flights expensive, petrol's also expensive. So even the option of driving to Port Elizabeth is also expensive. So it's like, what must happen? Traveling now is expensive because of these fuel prices. So it's just to show that, okay, these fuel conflicts are even affecting everybody, and it's affecting so many things that we do take for granted in our daily lives. Now, all of this is also posing the question as to whether South Africa has enough fuel reserves within our country. Now, some of the officials have been questioned about whether the country is maintaining these fuel reserves, especially because it is rumored that we only have 2 months worth of fuel. But these officials haven't really given us concrete answers, nor are they open to really answering the questions, because the fact that they're giving us a bit dicey answers shows that it's a bit tricky, it's a bit murky, because experts are also warning that if this situation continues, it could have a wider impact on everybody. Higher transport costs, as you mentioned, food shortages, especially to the communities that are the most vulnerable, because some people go through these tragedies unscathed. They just continue living life. You know, they pay the extra fuel prices, they pay more for food, but the average citizen has to suffer, and then now our livelihoods gets affected, and then life just doesn't look cute anymore. And it just goes to show how, in as much as this problem stems in Nelson Mandela Bay, this can also affect the country at large, and how also international affairs also does affect how we as citizens now also experience things on a daily, because what happens internationally affects us nationally, and what happens nationally also affects international. So it's just to see that the world is interconnected. Globalization has really made things connected everywhere. So if one thing is struggling, everybody feels the struggle. So it's just to see that, okay, like, is looking murky on all corners. How do we find ways of combating this? And it goes to the more broader question of why are we still even using fuel in the first place? Because let's not act like the extraction of fuel is like a great process and has many like advantages, because it does have advantages, but the disadvantages, number one, on the environment. A lot of the times to extract fuel, you have to basically kill the environment. And number two, also, especially in most of the Gulf countries at times, they have gotten so much controversy in terms of workers' rights and human rights as to the workers and the people who do extract fuel. A lot of them tend to be underpaid and overworked. So it's just that such conversations also pose, why are we even still using fuel? Let's find more renewable ways to have cars. I mean, even having cars as a society is a bit of a stretch, because the amount of greenhouse gases that they produce is also like killing the environment. So it's just a problem after a problem after a problem. But as much as we have many problems out there in our society, the one problem that will never affect you is that Madiba's Radio is with you. And we are everywhere on all social media platforms. We're here for you. If you want to vent to us or me, of course, Madiba's Radio is the title on all social media platforms. Instagram, X, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, everywhere. And of course, if you want to speak to me, particularly on a more professional, maybe personal, I'm joking, level, of course, my Instagram handle is ketela.tligo and my Facebook handle is tligo k in Clover. But of course, this has been Science Package, and we always bring you the latest science tea, what is going down in our world, and really thinking about it on a much more deeper level, because we need to have these conversations and we really need to think about exactly what society are we living in and what can we do to make it better. But of course, same time, same place, next time. Bye.
Get your essay ID book or card ready and go to registertovote.elections.org.za. Step 2. Click Register to Vote Now and enter your personal details. Step 3. Enter the one-time PIN, OTP, sent to your cell phone, and then search for your address. Or if you are at home, use the current location on your device. Step 4. Take a photo of your ID or submit a scan of your ID, and then you will receive an SMS within 24 hours confirming your successful registration.
Oh yes, I like it.